It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, it finally happened. I got my driver's license.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I didn't really, but I have nothing to talk about for the cold open.
Oh.
So I thought I'd run with that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world, and I've been thinking about this. We are essentially, so you know when you're like driving on the interstate and there's like a big house or airplane wings or parts of a windmill going down the thing, and it's giant and it takes up 1.5 lanes and it's crazy and everybody's gonna die, except that there's a car behind it with a little sticker or a little banner that says oversized load.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are that little car with the banner for the internet. In order to be a viable part, we're like the opposite of a pace car.
Mm.
Like, we're at the other direction. Mm. You must be this functional and interesting in order to exist on the internet. Below that, don't bother. We're the floor to the internet.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the other podcast in the world that's basically the floor of the internet. You can't go lower than us. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I mean that as like a law. You must be this high to ride this roller coaster. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 729.
We're like the MVP, minimum viable product, for I think what people call content. We're as close as you can get to not being content, but still being content.
Right. It's like
we're on upswing right now. Our videos are actually getting 2, 4, 11 views.
Like,
for us, that's huge. We are on an upswing right now.
When you called me a storyteller once, and I thought that was a nice compliment, you said, I didn't say you were a good one. And then I said, well, I'm just happy to be on the list.
You have definitely said things that qualify as stories.
Maybe I'm at the bottom, but that's okay.
Maybe.
As long as I'm on the list.
You're not even on the bottom, dude. I can just off the top of the dome think of a scant handful of people that tell way worse stories.
Okay, well then we're at that, but you're saying we're at the bottom of the list of the podcast in the content.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. None of the people I can think of should ever put these stories on the internet.
They're
in what we call the basement of the internet, which is not about like nefarious stuff. It's purely a quality issue.
Yeah, purely quality. Okay.
We are the floorboards between the internet house proper and the basement of the
Okay. Internet. That makes sense.
Here we are. Peter's Donuts. For those of you who just joining it.
I guess we'll see. I have a little bit of a headache, and my headaches all come from my neck. So it's like, well, I have to do something about my neck and my headphones.
I know, I'll fling my headphones off.
Oh, I'm such an old man.
I saw a commercial there's a new migraine medication, and the way they phrased it, it was something about stop migraines within 2 hours for up to 48 hours. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was just something that heavily implied like it was gonna cause a headache in addition to curing one. It was one of those like English ambiguity issues where I was like, that kind of sounds like you're gonna give me a migraine eventually. But anyway, sorry. For those of you just joining us, and you might, because like I said, our numbers have been up into double digits. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, which doesn't sound very magical, but if you're a hat, it's pretty magical. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And people write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want, and the hat magically forwards us the emails and makes us read them, talk about them. That's what we do. I recently saw something where somebody unironically used the word transmogrify, and I felt so seen because I know certain listeners of this show thought I made up that word, which I used to use a lot. The hat would magically transmogrify the emails and the little note cards with the information written on them that manifested physically within the hat itself, if we recall. And I found out some people thought I made up the word transmogrify, but no, it's a real word. Perfectly cromulent word.
It was used in Calvin and Hobbes a lot, or at least one time. Maybe I shouldn't say a lot, but I'm pretty sure it was used more than once. Transmogrify.
Calvin would be like, watch me transmogrify this Ford emblem into a urine-soaked Ford emblem.
Good one. That's a good one.
Famously.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That was something I saw recently too. That was somebody was doing a pretending to do a tattoo of a Calvin peeing on a Garfield or something. I can't remember. It was
Oh.
something like that. Anyway, how's your week been?
All right. I haven't done a whole lot, really. I don't even remember watching like any movie. I mean, we watched some stuff, but nothing I is interesting enough to talk about, really. Had the kids over on the weekend, so that was nice. Good to see the grandkids and stuff. Because I was sick on my birthday, really, and so nobody came over or anything. So it was sort of kind of a belated birthday thing for them to come over. So
Oh,
that was
nice.
really, yeah, it was really nice. Other than that, though, just work. What about you? How's your week been?
It's fine. I've seen a lot of movies, not a lot of them that are good enough or bad enough to really talk about.
Good or bad enough.
Yeah, we haven't really started watching anything new too much. I'm still playing Eternal Strains. I suspect I am nearing the end. Mostly because I have max leveled a bunch of things that I'm like, I think, and there are things that you can only level when the story reaches certain points. And so I've now reached the point where I can max level all the stuff. So I'm like, I'm probably close to the end. I'm still really digging it. I put close to 40 hours into it so far. I hit something the other day. So I have heard critics say the story's kind of generic and boring in some ways, and I wouldn't go that far. I think it's not mind-blowing, but it's a good story, and I care about the characters. The voice work in particular, I think, really brings it across. But I finally realized a good way to explain it. If you are a fan of post-reboot Doctor Who stories, it is that level of, it's very emotion-based, it's very left leaning politically. It's the story has a lot of very progressive viewpoints and messages within it, and a lot of them are just sort of built into the story, so you definitely have to be sort of that political leanings, and very melodramatic and emotional, but in a way that's very sort of non-threatening. A lot of like relationships and romances and things that we're dealing with there. And again, you have minimal control. I don't think you have really any control over the story, you have control over the nature of the way the conversation goes. But I finally realized, because there were just a couple of things that I'm like, I'm really liking this, but it is very, very woke, for lack of a better term, in its story structure. And I suddenly was like, this reminds me an awful lot of Doctor Who, that'll just have a random couple of comedic relief guys who turn out to be soldiers in this army, but also are two married guys. And like, we don't see them kiss or anything. They're just together. Like, it's just part of the background.
Yeah, right.
And it has that sort of vibe, and a lot of ultimately weird shit is happening, and we have to decide whether or not to trust our friend. And we do, and it goes poorly, and in my personal opinion, we probably shouldn't have. But the main story is that we did trust them, and in the end, they did right, and that's good. And yeah, it's very morally woke in a lot of ways that I enjoy. And if you don't, then you wouldn't. But yeah, the plot reminds me very much of a Doctor Who kind of plot, and just that level of creative but not necessarily real tightly constructed.
Yeah, right.
Same kind of way.
Yeah. That does really well.
We have a lot of quests where things happen, and then afterwards there'll be a lot of conversations about how each person feels about what happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, that happens in a lot of RPGs. But this one is very about that kind of vibe. And also how we treated each other during that thing, and if we need to clear the air and that kind of stuff. So it's just very, and again, I love it. It is a very specific style. It is a very, it assumes a very narrow view of the world. That's a pleasant view that I enjoy, but I'm aware that I'm like, it's not necessarily realistic in its portrayal, but it's fun and I have a good time and I'm invested in the future of these characters. So I like it, but I feel like that's a better perspective for if one would like it. Overall, also, it's quite an easy game, even though I still have it set on a lower difficulty. Critics are very big on, like, it's not a challenging game. So if that's what you play for, it's bad for you. But if you're like me and you kind of hate all the challenges, perfect. I do want to talk about one movie that I watched.
Okay.
Because we went, again, in our old classics of things we haven't seen in a while or we never saw and meant to see, we decided to watch Young Guns. Did you ever see Young Guns? Do you remember Young Guns?
Yeah, I remember. Yes. I don't remember exactly when it came out, but I remember it being a thing.
It came out, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s. I can't remember. It was right the Brat Pack and Brat Pack adjacent people were burgeoning. The entire premise of this movie was very clearly, what if we take all the hot guys and teen heartthrobs that are popular right now and stick them in a cowboy movie together?
Yeah, that did seem to be the point of it.
Was it?
Which is why I didn't see it.
And it was successful because they made two of them.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they made Young Guns 2. And I saw both. And I think this is one of the movies where I got way into Lou Diamond Phillips that only years later did I realize what that meant. At this point, I just thought he was super cool. But there are two things I want to talk about. One, the movie holds up. It's a fun time. It's not that thrilling. You have to be into the fact that it's all these little baby actors at their prime. Like, it's a fascinating cultural artifact to me. The story is good. It's not a bad movie. I just don't know that I get super interested. The whole idea is Terrence Stamp is a guy who owns a ranch, and he basically finds stray young boys and hires them to work there. But there's an evil cattle baron, Jack Palance, and he wants the land. And he's got the government and the sheriff in his pocket and all this stuff. And so bad guys murder Terrence Stamp, and all the young men become deputized long enough to go and kill the guys that killed Terrence Stamp because they're young boys and they want revenge. And then that balloons into eventually they're not part of the law anymore and they're going after Jack Palance and all of his dudes. So, and then it goes from there. So yeah, the story is very what you would expect, but it's a fun time because of these guys. However, the lineup is a little weird. There are six guys here. Six heartthrobs, as it were. First and foremost is Emilio Estevez. This was at the height of his Estevez-ness. he was Emilioing right through the stratosphere. Charlie Sheen is also here, though I would say at this time he is probably the lesser known of the two brothers, or at least the less popular of the two brothers, but he is also here. Kiefer Sutherland is here, acting very similar to the part he played in the Three Musketeers movie we just watched the other day. He definitely had a vibe during this era of the kind of character he was going to play. And Lou Diamond Phillips as our Mexican Indian, Chavez is his name. And then two more. One of them is Dermot Mulroney. And
I'm not sure I remember who that is.
He's the guy you mix up with Dylan McDermott.
Okay.
He's the best, the easiest place to spot him is he's the guy Julia Roberts is after in My Best Friend's Wedding. She's the titular best friend of Dermot Mulroney. He was in some rom-coms. He had an era where he was a leading man. He most recently was a cop in the sixth Scream movie. Like, he gets leading man roles and he's doing, his career is fine. I did not occur to me he was ever a teen heartthrob.
Oh.
And in fact, he plays a character named Dirty Steve, whose entire identity appears to be there's always something in his mouth. Sometimes it's tobacco, sometimes it's because he's eaten, but like, so it's not like he's intended to appear attractive, but it just was a weird choice. And then the sixth guy was Casey somebody, who I've never fucking heard of.
And I can't even remember his last name right now.
Right? And I've looked him up, and he's worked consistently, but he's not anybody. Casey Siamatsko. I don't know who this guy is. Like, he's definitely kept busy, and he's been in stuff I've known. But, like, I mean, IMDb, the first thing he's there is Young Guns. And the second thing he's known for is being in Stand By Me. But he wasn't one of the four guys. So, who the fuck cares? Like, you only know five characters in Stand By Me. The four kids and Kiefer Sutherland. And he wasn't any of those. He was Billy Tessio. And then he was in Back to the Future and Back to the Future 3 playing 3D.
Who is that even?
I think this sums up this great sixth heartthrob out of Young Guns as who is that even? I think that sums it up real well. But this is not the important thing we need to talk about Young Guns. We need to talk about the romantic subplot because there is one.
Well, sure. Of course there is.
It is not aged well.
I mean, that's always my least favorite part of any movie, which, and they all have them, and I always hate it. But some of them are worse than others. This one's really
this
bad.
This is, there's a lot of things where you look back and you're like, this is what we did at the time. But this one, I'm this is one of those where I'm like, even in that era, I feel like someone should have noticed. So, Jack Palance, our evil guy, has himself a friend who is a young Chinese woman. She's dressed very nice. At one point, all of the young guns are at a thing, and Kiefer Sutherland meets her and is extremely taken with her and goes and dances with her and has a conversation. And she said, he's like, "How are you friends with Jack Palance?" As though he thinks that's normal. And she's like, "Actually, he's my guardian." Like, "Oh, cool." Well, come to find out, actually, somebody at a place owed him money, and they paid by giving them their daughter. And so he kind of owns her now and is entertainment at some of it. So, whatever. And eventually, Kiefer Sutherland, they will fall in love, and he will pull her out of this thing. So far, so fine. I mean, terrible, but fine. Like, that's a plot you expect. But here's how it goes. So I told you, they meet, they dance. She's very nervous the whole time. Then they stop dancing. Then Kiefer Sutherland finds this out, and it's terrible. Next time we see her, she's walking down the street, dressed very nice, just down the street doing something. And Kiefer Sutherland's coming up, trying to talk to her. And she very much does not want to talk to him and is very nervous, borderline scared to talk to him. And she won't, and he keeps trying, and she's being very polite, but she keeps moving or whatever. And he finally stops in the street after she's gone past about 10 feet and screams, "Just talk to me," so loud it echoes, and she jumps. And so she stops so he can go talk to her. And she's visibly terrified the whole time. And then something makes this scene go away. I don't know. And then later in the movie, they're going after Jack Palance or whatever, and he breaks into her room and says he's come to free her. And at this point, she's still clearly terrified and very polite, but she's responding like this isn't insane. But still, she's like, "I couldn't leave because of what." But like, he does shit where he like literally like shakes her
Oh
and
no.
stuff like this. And then eventually, and like, this scene is also terrible, and she won't go with him, and he leaves. And then the next time we see her, I think she's running away to be with him, and now they're in love. And from then it kind of, but like, everything leading up to this was very textbook, like, abusive stalker, like, in very black and white ways. And I'm just like, I know a lot of time has passed, but this is crazy. And I did not remember, I didn't remember much about Young Guns. But I did not remember that, and it was wild. But in general, the movie's pretty wild. I'll probably see Young Guns 2 one of these times, but it didn't. It's fun for the nostalgia of you would never get a movie with all these guys in it again, and that's fun. In the same way that Apple TV Plus did a movie, or maybe it even hit theater, called Wolfs. And it's about two like covert operators who are like lone wolves. I think they're maybe mercenary assassins. I don't know. Two guys who kill people, and that's their job. And they're notoriously lone wolf. And they're but there's two of them, and they're forced to work together, and hijinks ensue. And it looks terrible, and I'm sure it is terrible. Except the two characters are played by Brad Pitt and George Clooney. And so I'm like, okay, then it kind of doesn't matter what the plot is. That's probably worth watching. Like, I'm sure it's still awful, but it'll just be fun to watch them do their thing together. So, and that it specifically is called Wolfs, not Wolves, which I think is a cute little thing there. But it's that kind of thing. I'm like, if you can appreciate Young Guns for specific things, watch it. If not, it'll probably be boring. It's not that. It's not that. Anyway, that's all I got. I know we got emails. Let's get some emails.
We do have emails.
Well, let's do it.
Let's see. Azure Talon.
I've heard of him. He gave us the brilliant little tiny boyfriend piloting a big man, which has single-handedly saved the podcast.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
Hot
Is that us?
dogs. I'm not quite sure. Like, he starts with hosts and it's like HOSTS, like with periods, like it's an acronym of meaning something, which I don't know. And then he writes hot dogs the same way. And he says, hot dogs are the freaking best. You know what isn't? When is this? I have to like make this bigger. Glizzy. What's glizzy? He says he hates that term. I know language morphs and evolves, but something about that word just makes me irrationally angry. Just me? What other words need to be literally purged from the language? I've never even heard the word glizzy before. What does it mean?
Oh, I ran into this recently. It's a slang term for a hot dog.
Okay.
It's
He says, and don't get me started on literally being defined as metaphorically. I don't know if it's defined as that, but it's used as that. That's certainly a common usage when someone says, and they literally something that did not literally happen. It's entirely figuratively. Hot dog two, what's the best way to top a hot dog, veggie dog, Azure Talon? So he's got two questions really. He wants to know what other words.
hot dog slash veggie dog slash Azure Talon. How do you top your Azure Talon?
So he wants to know what words are,
Extensive restraints.
what words drive us crazy and need to be stricken from the language, and what's the best way to top a hot dog or a veggie dog? Well, I want to answer that one first. Just come right out
Well,
and say.
I do want to pause for a second just to give you. Glizzy is a slang term for hot dog. It
Okay.
came out of rap and hip hop culture because Glizzy was a slang term for a Glock pistol. And because they are considered roughly the same size and shape, now we call hot dogs that. I guess some people call hot dogs.
Well, okay then.
A sushi
When
the hot dog.
I was young and still ate real hot dogs, the fit my favorite way to have a hot dog was at
When I
A&W.
was young, and still ate real hot dogs.
was at A&W, and of course I loved being at A&W and having a root beer and their onion rings, but rather than having one of their famous, Papa Burger, Mama Burger, whatever, I would have their Coney dogs because, and that was just a hot, be all beef hot dog with chili and onions. I'm pretty sure that was all it was, but that was the best way to eat a hot dog, in my opinion. Which isn't to say that when I was home and I tried to do the same thing, put chili onions on a hot dog, that it quite had the same something as the A&W one. But that's the only time I can remember really having a strong preference about what should be on a hot dog. Now, I do have veggie hot dogs now, and I do like to put like sauerkraut on them or, mustard or relish and stuff. But I wouldn't say any of those ways is like my favorite way or like I always like to do it that way. The only time I could remember really liking a specific thing that was on a hot dog was kind of specifically the A&W Coney dogs that had chili and onions. Every other time I have a hot dog, it just depends on my mood. Maybe I'll have relish on it. Maybe I'll have kraut on it. Maybe I'll have both. I mean, I don't really have a favorite way outside of that. I don't think. Do you even
In
like hot
general,
dogs? I mean, I don't. I've never heard you.
I have the same toppings for my various grill-related
Okay.
sandwiches, hot dogs. I'm not, don't even at me about that. hamburgers, breaded tenderloin sandwiches, things like this. I have the same set of toppings, generally speaking. It used to be mayo and onions. Now it is mayo and ketchup and onions. Because mayo by itself can just be too one note. And I need something to brighten it up. And ketchup has a sweetness to it that brightens it up real nice.
Okay.
But most in answer to your question, I love hot dogs. I really love hot dogs. Hot dogs are really good. Now, in general, I love all sausages.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But I particularly love hot dogs. I am a very big, I married into a family who taught me this, but I am a very big proponent of natural casing.
Ooh.
You need that snap, that bite. It's a huge difference. Most commonly for me, if it's a decent hot dog that I like that has some flavor to it, I'll put any toppings on it.
Yeah, sure.
I'll put it in a bun. I just eat it. At home, I can be known to put ketchup and mayo on it. Onion doesn't go on there too often just because it's a pain in the ass with
right
onions. If I go to a place that has chopped onions, I'll definitely put that on there.
Right.
I'm also quite a fan of sweet relish in particular. And I know for some people that'll freak them out, but I like sweet relish.
I do too.
I even do that sometimes on a burger. I have grown out of mustard a little. I mean, I like mustard sauce, like mustard as a component of a sauce or something. It's really good, but just straight mustard, especially yellow mustard, it doesn't really do it for me anymore. So, I mean, if you pre-made and you're like, this hot dog is ketchup, mustard, relish, onions, standing across the plate, I'd be like, sure, I'll eat it.
I would too, yeah. Yep.
I'm a bigger fan of corn dogs.
I was going to ask that. I was going to say, if someone said, would you rather have a hot dog in a corn dog or in a bun with whatever toppings you like, I would prefer.
Corn dog.
Yeah.
Corn dog. Hot dogs are harder to come by than they should be in the fast food landscape. And so when I can find them, we jump on. Freddy's Steak Burgers does hot dogs, and that's almost always what Trish gets from there. Now, a lot of my deeply held beliefs have been destroyed recently. I believed that no movie musical could ever be good, and Wicked fucked that up. I believe that a change.org petition could never do anything, and then they saved the Mexican pizza. I believe that Gene Hackman's dog would never go through with it and actually kill both of his owners, but even though the police have said no foul play is suspected, do you think? All right, I don't believe in any. Okay. How do you think Gene would feel about this? Like, there's no way this doesn't become a major part of his legacy, whether you like it or not. Like, for those of you who don't know, as of recording, Gene Hackman died like yesterday. And he was found dead with his wife also dead and their dog also dead.
Well, he was,
and everybody's like, what the fuck happened?
He was recently found dead. The significant decomp has happened, they said. So they don't know when they died exactly.
And they say no foul play is suspected. So everybody in the world is now like, okay, so what exactly what qualifies as foul play and not, in a way that no one ever has?
Well, they ruled out.
And they're like, murder, suicide. And people are like, I think the police don't, I think they would say foul play was suspected if that was. Like, no, this is like, there's two ways to die, natural causes and not. And they're not like,
they ruled out CO2 already.
Have they already? Okay, because that was the prime theory I had.
And they found a spilled bottle of pills near her body.
He was also 95. So, but like, this is going to be a thing now.
Yeah.
Forever, really.
Right.
And I don't know, like, I don't, I'm not in the head enough of Gene Hackman, because there's a certain person who would be like, this has ruined my entire legacy. And then there are other people that would be like me, that'd be like, that's hilarious, that I'm going to go out forever. People are going to be like, what, why was the dog involved?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah, what happened to the dog? And now they're saying one of his dogs, like there were other animals that were not dead, apparently, but this one.
They were like, none of our business, and we've seen the will.
I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. It's kind of sad, really. Really.
You always get such a cute face when we desecrate the memory of the dead. It's adorable.
Okay.
Anyway, to my point, the shit I don't know is ever increasing. But up to this point, and I fully admit, as I understand it, Boca makes some really good sausages. But as far as I can tell, every single vegetarian hot dog in the world is disgusting. There are fake meat brands that I love to death, and I will eat all of their stuff, and I eat their hot dogs, and they're disgusting. They very frequently, especially if you grill them, take on a characteristic like, why did you put this candle on a food grill? Like, they kind of just sort of melt, and they never taste like anything. It's not, like I said, I've heard Boca make some great sausages, and I've had some vegetarian sausages that are quite good. But vegetarian hot, I mean, I assume you have much more breadth of experience than me in
this
realm.
I think across the board when it comes to sausage type things, including their Frankfurters, Field Roast makes really good ones.
And Field Roast does pretty well, and I haven't had theirs.
I mean, I find their hot dogs to be a little salty for me, a little too much sodium in them for me. But I mean, a lot of people, but otherwise I do like them, and I think a lot of people do. I think they feel like they grill up pretty well. Now, when I'm kind of with you, though, in general. Like, when I have a vegetarian hot dog, which I often will have because, not because I'm a particular fan of vegetarian hot dogs, but because I'll go places where the thing we're eating is grilled whatever. It's like, okay, well, if I want something grilled, there's vegetarian hamburgers, which are also a mixed bag, or I can get a vegetarian hot dog. Yeah. And sometimes I don't have a choice. They say, hey, you're a vegetarian, so we got this. Is this okay? It's like, yeah, that's fine. And
Anyone legitimately handled you a celery stick in a hot dog bun?
No.
I always wanted to do that. It's classic.
But in those cases, I do pretty much pile on a whole bunch of stuff. Like, whatever toppings you can put on it to make it taste better than they usually do. Because you're right. The vegetarian hot dogs aren't great. But usually there's so many toppings available, it doesn't matter to me.
When corn burst onto the scene in the U.S. and very quickly everyone forgot about it, we loved most of their stuff, and we tried their hot dogs a couple times, and they look worse than they taste, but they don't really taste of much.
Yeah, I don't remember their hot dogs. I tried just about every corn thing too, but I don't remember.
And it's there's no judgment here. I'm not like, you stupid vegetarians, you should be eating meat, you can't even get hot dogs right. But it's very similar to the vegan cheese thing. I don't consider the fact that all vegan cheese is the shittiest stuff on the planet to be like an argument against vegans.
Yeah.
People get real smug about it. Like, well, your cheese sucks. It does. It's too bad we don't have that technology.
Well,
like, that's all that it is.
So, I mean, like,
I feel bad for vegetarians that we haven't perfected the vegetarian hot dog yet, so you have to live with a dearth of quality hot dogs. I'm not like, come back to the meat eaters.
Well,
we have hot dogs.
I would argue
people get real pissy about it, and no. This vegetarian and vegan food in large cases is something we are still working out the technology for. And our demand, I'll remind you, is to make vegetarian and vegan food that tastes like non-vegetarian food, which is a tall order.
Correct. I would argue that vegan hamburgers that aren't, say, Impossible Burgers or whatever, that are really tried to made to really simulate the meat experience. Vegetarian burgers for a long time weren't made to simulate the meat experience. They were just made to be a thing that you could put on the grill while your family's eating hamburgers. And I would argue that
the whole of Garden Burgers varieties was that, and we love those.
Yeah, I would argue that they're not any closer to, but the thing about vegan and vegetarian burgers is they seem to stand on their own. Like a black bean burger is delicious as a black bean burger, right?
Yeah.
A lot of other artificial burgers are people like them just as they are, not necessarily as a replacement for a burger. But when it comes to hot dogs, people's expectations are a little different. They kind of want it to be like a hot dog across the board. There's no such thing. I've never experienced a vegetarian hot dog where someone says, well, this isn't anything like a hot dog, but I like it for what it is. Burgers, yes. Lots of examples of that. Well, this isn't anything like a hamburger, but I like it for what it is. I've never experienced a hot dog like that. Everyone is disappointed with the hot dog. And why? Well, it doesn't taste anything like a hot dog. Yeah, but this burger doesn't taste anything like a burger, but you still like it for what it is.
The standard for a hot dog is different. Iconic thing.
That's what I think too. Yeah.
We can stick a lot of stuff between hamburger buns and it's still a hamburger.
Yeah. Right.
and that's the thing is I have had a lot of vegetarian and vegan food and I often like it very much. I like it very much. But it frequently is when it is not trying to authentically recreate
exactly
a non-vegetarian thing.
That's right.
And it's its own thing. And like, dishes that are vegan that have something in it that is sort of taking the place of cheese in the dish can work well. If I go to the store and I'm like, I want to buy some vegan cheese to shred to put on my tacos, it's terrible.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, that's true. Because that's another thing. Cheese is like, well, you want it to be like real cheese. It's not going to be its own thing.
It's not going to. We don't have that technology.
Yeah, right.
But you can incorporate it into things. And sure. They do. Some of the straight cashew cheese can kind of do that. And I've had that depending on how you do it. But if you're just like, we want a vegan version of this thing we already have that's not vegan, it's probably not going to be the same.
No. But,
and if you try, it's probably going to be scary.
But like I said, burgers can get by with it. For some reason, we can like a vegetarian burger for what it is. But a vegetarian hot dog, it's got to be like a hot dog. Like there's not, if it's not, people aren't going to like it. And I'm one of those people, by the way. I mean, if I eat a vegetarian hot dog and it's not, my standards for a vegetarian hot dog are different than for a burger too.
I saw him punch a cart owner.
But it's, you're right. It is the same with cheese. Like vegetarian cheese can't just
vegan cheese.
Well, okay, vegan, because vegetarian can have casein in it and things and make it very. You can do other things with it, but
and they make a vegetable version of
it. If it's non, you know, if it's not dairy cheese, basically, it's got to be like it, or it can't be like, well, this isn't like it, but it's good on its own. No.
And it never is. They haven't got that technology
but
yet.
But hamburgers, burgers can be for some reason.
Yeah, you can stick all sorts of weird shit in there. McDonald's used to sell a sandwich that was a slice of grilled pineapple instead of a burger. Ooh. It didn't do very well. I was worried I missed out on all the fast food places doing their Lent offerings. Because I was like, holy crap, I didn't see that. And Lent's probably almost over because usually like early February is when Mardi Gras hits. I looked up. Mardi Gras is not till March 5th.
Yeah. It's not.
Real late Lent this year.
Sure.
And I know it's lunar and that happens, but I don't recall it ever being this late. This is nuts.
Oh, yeah.
It can be this still late. In.
Not much later than this. A little later it can be still than this, but not much.
All right. Let's get glizzy with it here. Let's talk about words that we don't like. I don't love glizzy. It doesn't come up a lot in my life, so it's not a bad. I know a lot of people have issue with the word moist.
I've heard that.
I simultaneously get that and don't have that problem. Like, I'm fine with the word moist, but I'm like, I guess I get why you wouldn't, maybe? I don't know.
The only words I ever seem to kind of chafe against it, it's really minor. Like it's not, I never get to the point where I'm like, this has to stop. This is ridiculous. Or when people truncate a word, that's about the only time. Like, this thing is in mint condition.
I love that. I
Just say
love
mint
that.
condition. Just say the whole word. But it doesn't even annoy me as much as I just demonstrated. It kind of like I don't like that. But then I forget about it, and I don't care actually if people say that. But that's the only time. Like new words, and it never seemed to bother me at all. But when something just takes a word that it's just one syllable and they're cutting it off, it's like you could
See,
just
and
say
I
a
used
word.
to
Why
find
not say
that
it?
hilarious, but I'm kind of over it because it has become such a cinematic shorthand for someone being uncomfortable.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's
Well,
usually
they
made
just
fun
do
of.
that as like, in some kind of relish. And then if it's really hacky, there'll be like a 3 second pause, and then they'll be like, shouldn't ship.
Now,
And it's just been done to death, kind of like.
like when people were using ship and shipping, for some reason that didn't have the same effect. I don't know why. I didn't care
I
about that.
have noticed in myself, and I take deep shame in this, when I'm texting, only when I'm texting, though is THO at this point. And that's new for me. I feel weird about it.
Well, this is interesting because back when I first started, on bulletin boards in, 1987, which you could do when you were in college back then, before everybody had the internet, college kids could have it. And already people were abbreviating things. Of course they were.
Well,
And I
you can
never did.
find correspondence from the founding fathers that abbreviates in several ways we do currently, including though as THO and your as YR, period.
Sure. So, but I never did. I never did it for, I don't know why. Like I just noticed that if I was on a bulletin board, you had posts and this post and this post and everyone else's post would be very casual with a lot of abbreviations, a lot of this. And mine was this written out term paper almost thing every time. And I noticed that I stood out like that, and probably other people did too, and probably thought I was some kind of weird nerd or didn't understand how the internet worked, but that's just how it's always been. And when I text, I do the same thing. I don't abbreviate anything.
You are a weird nerd. No, I text too long too, and I've always had this. I remember some random kid making fun of me on World of Warcraft because I used the word perhaps. And they thought that was a hilariously big word or whatever. I did two spaces after a period way longer than I needed to.
I still do. I
It's
still do.
I finally had somebody explain to me why you don't need to anymore, and so I have stopped. I'm still, even though I know there are counter arguments, I am Oxford comma till I die.
Okay, now that's where you put a comma in, including right before the and.
Yes,
Yeah, me
yes.
too. Me too.
More commas. There are legitimate circumstances where it would be make more sense if you didn't have them. And there
Yes.
are ones where it is ambiguous. I realize that now. I'm still Oxford comma all the way. Here is one I have changed, and you should change too. I like to type things out too. However, the final bit of a text, if the punctuation would be a period, I no longer put a period. I learned this from my wife. She noticed that a lot of people don't do it anymore. Young people don't do that at the end. And immediately took the old folks stance of too lazy. Blah, blah, blah. And I did too. And I'm like, whatever, they can do what I want. I'm still going to put the period in there. But then she learned a lot because for a while when she was bossing people around, they were from the generation below her. So she learned a lot from that. She found out that not only does that generation not do that for whatever reason, consequently, there isn't a. It's the same thing like I told you about the thumbs up emoji, and it's different depending on what age you are. Apparently, a period at the end makes it feel formal and impersonal in a way that is off-putting to the younger generation. So it's not just that we're reading something by they're not doing it. They are reading something negative into us using the period. So because of that, if I don't feel it is necessary, and obviously if you're going to end on an exclamation point or a question mark, I do that. And I still type out full sentences, though, notwithstanding. I'm still very big on capitalization and like contractions need the proper thing and all that. I do a lot of crap like that, but now I generally leave the last period out. It's interesting. The point at which I learned about this and then started doing it was pretty broad. I spent some time thinking about this, but.
So I have some clients who are younger.
You'd have to. I mean.
Right. No, but I mean like Gen Z younger. And I mean, I don't have to have people that young. And I mean, texting is an option for interaction, but it's very brief or whatever. They know that I'm old, so they probably have different expectations, right? For my communication.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, and like I said, it does, when we ask the young people, what does the thumbs up emoji mean? Their immediate unprompted response was, how old is the person sending
it? Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Because I will never remember to not put a period.
The nieces and nephews send bullshit texts. No. They send like nothing in response. They'll send as little as they can, no punctuation, any contraction they can. And what really gets me is my niece likes to send okay with like three or four Ys. And in my head, that's really like passive aggressive. You're like, okay. But no, it's literally a lazy thing. She just can't be bothered to essentially take her. Like, she has it with a few words, and just the last letter, she just lets go longer. And also, she likes seeming weird, so she just does stuff that's weird. But I was like, are you annoyed one time? She's like, no, that's just how I end the word okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, so, again, since 1987, I've been getting communications with people that are weird like that, or, you know, whatever. And I guess I never think anything of it, which is not always good, because sometimes they do mean they're annoyed, or sometimes they do mean something. I just go, oh, this is just how they're typing. This is just how they're expressing themselves. This is whatever. I never think anything of it, even when I should. Of course, more than half the time I shouldn't, because it's just like what you just said. It doesn't mean anything. But sometimes it does, and it goes right over my head, so I don't know.
I say you lean into it.
Lean into what?
From now on, every text you get, you respond by saying, Alexa, tell so-and-so, and then whatever you were going to answer normally. Okay. And then include bits you don't understand about their spelling or punctuation. And then if you get tired of the conversation, you can switch to Alexa, play Gordon Lightfoot, and then just never respond to them again. And they'll just think you got confused.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have, you know, there could be people that I've like really insulted or whatever and not even known it, especially with that thumbs up thing. I have no idea. Or because
Alexa, ask Janine if she's mad at me.
Here's one that I know has bothered people only because I've gotten some feedback on it, is I use the word interesting non-ironically a lot. In fact, I never use it ironically or as a way to put someone off, like, oh, that's interesting. You know how some people don't really mean it. I never use interesting that way, but I constantly use it to mean I'm actually interested, or I actually find what you're saying interesting. But so many people think that that word is used as a, I don't know, as a dismissal, that even when I use it, not just in text either, but sometimes in speaking, they're insulted when I say it. And I don't know it usually until like later when they're never speaking to me again.
Do you remember that time when you and me got stuck in a matter transporter with Spock and Bones and like the two guys from Dude, Where's My Car? And no, wait, I didn't do the story right. Spock and Bones and the guys from Dude, Where's My Car had a transporter accident and we got created. It started as you're just Spock and I'm Bones, except we're both much, much stupider. So that was,
okay.
But yeah, like I was, you said, like I say interesting, and I'm like, yeah, you say it like Spock says fascinating.
Yeah, I do.
And it's never meant as an insult.
Never.
But also, as with what happens with the alien on the TV show, it doesn't sound human. But he's got an excuse.
Well, after people get to know me, it doesn't bother them anymore. They realize that I'm actually interested. And they actually even, I think
no,
some people...
we all just gave up.
No, no,
we
no.
We realize we don't care what you think anymore.
I think some people even like hearing me say it because they know that I mean it.
Is it interesting, William? I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not, but I don't care because I don't care if you find it interesting.
No, I do find it interesting when I say that. And some people are glad that I do. Or they're like glad that anybody does, maybe. I mean, because...
Some people tell you that.
Yeah, because you know, I think a lot of people, I think more in our current American society than before, a lot of people feel, you know, and it's popular to say this, it's kind of cliche for people to say this, they don't feel seen, or they'll have a certain experience with someone and they'll say, oh, I felt seen, you know. I think that, and I don't, I think that's more than a cliche or a trope. It's like, I do think people feel alienated in a way where they, that's, and they, and that's been true in American society for a very long time. Sociologists have written about it for a very long time, but I think now it's probably more true than ever. And it's important for a person to feel seen. And sometimes when someone says, oh, that's interesting, and they know they mean it, that's a moment they feel seen in, that the person's interested in what they're saying. But
that's interesting.
don't be a jerk. Come on. Come on. People who know me know this is a word I say and that I mean it. You know that.
No, I agree. There's a lot of shit that people with more style say sarcastically or ironically or jokingly, and you just say them like a speak and spell.
Well, I don't do. Do I say anything ironically or sarcastically at all? I mean,
you try every once in a while, and it is frankly adorable.
But I mean, I know other people do it, and I know when they're doing it, but I don't feel like that's a habit I've ever picked up.
No. Again, knowing you for a while, if you're ever in a conversation with William, and you're like, is that like an obscure quote from a '60s musical? He's probably trying to be funny.
I mean, yeah, that's sometimes I am doing a bit.
And I'm not saying
funny.
He quotes six, like he just says things that you're like, that sounds like a joke out of Bye Bye Birdie or some shit. Like,
yes,
it just feels like
I do that sometimes. That is true.
Yeah.
And yeah,
he still thinks the phrase "luck be a lady tonight" is a joke just by itself. He's like, it's that kind of thing. Like, yeah,
there was a thing I was planning to do along these lines, so I thought to myself, all right, whenever I go into any social situation, I'm going to be looking for an opportunity to say that's what she said where it doesn't make any sense. So it's like everyone's convinced that William doesn't know what that means. but it
I
had to be
like,
it had to be the right place. Like, it had to be a place where someone would think, wait a minute, does that make sense actually? Would she say, you know, they have to think for a second that maybe I was being really smart and sophisticated, and then realize, no, he doesn't know.
There, Alex Horn, the creator of Taskmaster, frequently tosses in the phrase "that's a massive if," which is the British version of us saying "that's a big if." When you know, you'll say like, "Well, if we get the job," and I'll be like, "That's a big if."
That's a big if.
But yeah, he says it like at times that are very inappropriate to like people will say, like, is that hard to do? And they're like, well, if you tried it, and he's like, that's a massive if. And it's like, well, then why are you asking? Like, why would it's that kind of thing. He'll just say if, where it's like, well, that's true. It might not happen, but it is the crux of what we're talking about. So we have to let that one go.
I just like bits where everybody is like have the confused look on their face. I love that.
Trish, I don't know why. We came up with this bit today, and apparently what really drove it home for Trish was I started explaining it to our cat. And she really liked that. And I eventually gave up because he's a cat. But we have just discovered something. So every generation tends to feel weird about the next generation because things have progressed and they are different. And sometimes you feel like it's good that you're going this way, but it's still weird for me. Or sometimes you're like, it's bad that society's going this way and it's extra weird for me. But everybody's like, you know, it's changed. The
Sure.
world is changing. We're changing with it, but not at the same pace. And da-da-da. Except there appears to be one thing that is getting consistent generation to generation now. Because Trish said it in passing, and I was like, it's true always. Every generation thinks that the next generation's blue jeans are too expensive and have too many holes in them to start with. And it just keeps going. Think about it.
Yeah, that's
It
true.
does.
Yeah, it
They
seems
get
to.
more expensive and they come more pre-holed. And every generation is like, what do you I see it. I very rarely see kids, and I'm just like, those aren't even jeans. It's just a hole. It's a waistband. Why? And I know you paid $200 for those. What is
New.
happening?
Yeah, you didn't even
Yeah.
put those holes in yourself.
In my day, we put down exactly. That was also a big one.
Yeah, I had holes
Like,
in my
this
jeans, but
is
I put them there.
consistent. Every generation, more expensive, more
And I
holes,
didn't put them there with
less
scissors.
material.
I put them there because I slid on the ground or I was playing or something. I didn't really want to have holes in my jeans. I just had them because I was poor and I couldn't replace the holes after I accidentally got them in because it got stuck in a bike chain or something.
Oh, yeah.
But these kids are buying them that way.
Great, hit the button. Absolutely. From Tommy Hilfiger.
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
All right.
Do you prefer a bit that confuses everybody in the room or immediately makes them bust out laughing? Because I think I prefer the ones that confuse everybody. For some reason, that just tickles me to death. And I think that's very selfish. Like, if I liked it that they would bust out laughing, that would seem like a generous bit. But like, I totally enjoy people being confused. So I feel like I'm a selfish comedian. I
I
mean, I do like
mean,
people
the
laughing too.
problem
I do like
is
people laughing too. I like that. But confusing people is
how I make
funner.
a determination.
Yeah.
It's how funny I think it is.
Well, that's what I mean.
If
To me,
I think
it's.
it's funny, I'm gonna do it. And if everybody's confused and I think it's funny, that's great. And if everybody also thinks it's funny and I think it's funny, that's great too.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
I probably am too much of a sucker for attention. I probably would prefer that everybody cracks up. But I
And I
like
do.
both. And it's mostly just if I think the bit's
Yeah, I
funny.
do like both, but when people are confused, for some reason that amuses me more. I don't know why. And actually, if it confuses them and they never figure out it's a joke, they just think William's a weirdo. I'm even more amused by
See, that I
it.
don't
I'm
like.
even more amused. I don't care if
I
they think I'm a
like,
weirdo.
what is Tony talking about? We need to figure this out. But
Oh,
it can
yeah.
very easily be like, Tony's talking about nonsense. Let's just ignore him. And then I feel like an asshole.
Oh, okay. Well, I
I don't
don't
like
know.
that.
There's just a part of me that likes to sow discord, I guess. Which
Nonsense.
I'm not a fan of that part of me, by the way, but sometimes I just can't help myself and I have to
I
say some
get that.
ridiculous
Little
thing.
chaos goblin. I get it. And I'll do it in a lot of places. I just hate to think that I'm causing them trouble in their conversation.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
love being confusing. I don't like being annoying, but I'm
Me,
frequently annoying.
yeah, me too. That's right. I don't like being annoying, but confusing, that amuses me sometimes quite a bit. I don't
Now,
know.
let's give everybody their side quest for this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say this will be the first week of March, but it's not. Because for us, it's going to be, but not for you guys. You've already done it once. I hope it went well. Pick a number between 3 and 8.
7.
Good choice. For there was a heartbeat there when you said that I was like, he doesn't know. I was waiting for like 12. All right. Find the imposter. Remove one thing from your space that is sabotaging your best life. And the quote here is from one Rick Sanchez. It says, you gotta get swifty.
What?
It is a quote from a Rick and Morty episode.
What does it mean?
They wrote a pop song that was all about getting swifty, and part of the joke was that they never defined what it meant.
One thing out of your environment that I'm sorry, what was it again?
I don't know. I already shuffled it away. That is preventing you living your best life.
Oh, is that a thing? That a thing in your environment?
Could be. I mean, they used to spark joy. Now they're helping you live your best life. I don't know.
Oh,
okay. Fire hazards? Is that the combination?
I don't know.
It's things. Me. I'm preventing you from living your best life.
Oh.
You should get rid of me from your space. I understand.
Okay. I understand.
I mean, hey, if I could get rid of me from my space, I would, but that's just...
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I'm awesome. The only thing getting in the way of living my best life. I can't get rid of me, so I don't...
If
I don't
you know what's getting in the way of us living our best lives, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us. Please, tell us. We can't go on like this. Also, email us, because I've been trying to make more space for the emails, because I like them. So we're going to need more of them. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Email us whatever you want. Questions, weird pictures, a hatred for hip hop culture, whatever. It doesn't even have to be white people bullshit. Whatever you like. And yeah, so please write in. And funny ending.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.